Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So now they have the Holy Spirit in them, which makes the next thing that happens a little bit of a question. It says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which now they're saved. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So now there's two events. They get saved and baptized, and then he lays hands on them and prays for them to receive the Holy Spirit.
If you are a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit, but are you empowered by the Spirit? Today on Practical Christian Living, Paul is explaining to disciples in Ephesus the different experiences of the Holy Spirit and what it means to receive the gifts of the Spirit, with more on exactly what happens after you get saved. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Acts 19, verses 1 through 10.
Good to see you guys. You can open up your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 19. We're going to be covering verses 1 through 10 in our study this morning. We're going to talk about what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit today. And I want to ask the question, are you empowered by the Spirit? If you're born again, we know you have the Holy Spirit, but are you empowered by Him and what that means? So let's pray. Let's ask God to bless our Bible study. Father, thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, it is profound, it is life-changing. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would be working in us as we take time to consider the Spirit empowering us as we look at the scriptures that have been inspired by the Spirit Himself. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome to our line-by-line, verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. We are in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, where Paul returns to Ephesus. This is our 47th study in the book of Acts, so we are taking our time and really getting God's word into our lives. And the title of our message today is The Empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's Paul going to Ephesus and by the power of the Spirit planting an incredibly effective church. The church in Ephesus is a strong contrast to the church in Corinth. There's two letters written to the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and both letters are corrective. He starts off in the beginning of 1 Corinthians talking to the Corinthians, and he said, I wish I could talk to you as to spiritual people, but you're not, you're carnal. You fall behind none of the spiritual gifts, but you're carnal. So even though they had the Spirit, they were carnal and not being led by the Spirit. To the Ephesians, when he writes the letter of Ephesians, he starts off talking to the faithful, that are in Ephesus. May the God who chose you before the foundations of the, and he starts to just has this deep book that's so theologically sound and powerful that he writes to them. So there's a contrast in these two kinds of churches, and he'll spend more time in Ephesus than he'll spend anywhere else. His third missionary journey, which we're in the middle of now, takes 5 years for him to do it, but he spends 3 of those years in Ephesus working with the people that are there, and it is incredibly effective. Now let's look at how he begins this. He left and he went to Jerusalem to take a vow. And when he left Ephesus, the people of Ephesus said, stay with us. They didn't want him to go. And Paul said, I must go to Jerusalem, but Lord willing, I will return. And that's where we left our study last week. And here in verse 1, it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Apollos had met Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. They saw that he taught accurately, but was not complete in his message. So he didn't know all about Jesus, but what he taught, he did teach accurately. So they took him aside and they showed him the way of God more complete or more accurately. So Apollos then joined the team as someone bringing people to Christ, a very powerful preacher and used by God in a very powerful way. He left Ephesus and went to Corinth, and Paul arrives in Ephesus when he leaves. It says, as it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, that's the regions of Galatia, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, tell you what, This right here is funny to me, that he finds disciples, and there's something about these disciples that makes him question whether or not they have the Spirit. There's something about the way they're living. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to live the life that God wants us to live. In fact, I believe that without the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to do it, because we are living uniquely for God and we're being directed by Him, and the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. The Bible says that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what these guys were doing. I don't know if they were carnal. I don't know if they were cussing. I don't know what was going on. But Paul's like, did you receive the Holy Spirit? It'd be like if I ran into you in Walmart, talked to you for a few minutes, and I go, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It's just a funny question to ask people. He identified something in them that they were lacking, the Holy Spirit. And so he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now here's their response. It says in the middle of verse 2, so they said to him, we had not so much of heard whether there was a Holy Spirit. So they didn't even know anything about a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? Now, why did he ask them, into what were you baptized? Because when you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you would have to know, becoming a Christian, that there's a Holy Spirit, because you're baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit. And they said, into John's baptism. So they were believers, but they'd been baptized into John the Baptist's baptism, but they had never received Christ. So they were in that place where they believed in God, but they hadn't received Jesus. I believe had they died, they would have went to heaven. They would have had accredited to them the work that Jesus did on the cross, because they were believers, but they had never heard of Christ. So they're living in this time in the world where the gospel's beginning to go around, and people who have believed and even were ready for waiting for the Messiah had not heard him yet. So then Paul said, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. So he tells them that's the message of the gospel. John baptized people, telling them to be ready to believe on the one who come after me, who is Jesus Christ. So how is it that you get saved, that you are born again? You believe on Jesus Christ. And so he completes the message of John by saying it was Jesus that he was baptizing people for to be able to receive it. And when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now they become Christians. Now they're like, oh, it's Jesus that John was preaching about. We believe that. And now they're saved. Now, what happens to you when you get saved? There's a few things. Number one, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you. In a way, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are now in you. You are now a Spirit-filled believer because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's in you. So now they have the Holy Spirit in them, which makes the next thing that happens a little bit of a question. It says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which now they're saved. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So now there's two events. They get saved and baptized, and then he lays hands on them and prays for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we saw this exact same thing, even more pronounced in Acts chapter 8. Let's read that one just to be connected with it. So in Acts chapter 8, the gospel goes to the Samaritans. This blows the mind of the Jews that are in Jerusalem, because up to this point in Acts 8, only Jews have gotten saved. But now the Samaritans, who are a completely different people group. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Remember the Samaritan, the woman at the well that Jesus went and talked to? Well, now Samaria receives the gospel. This is Acts 8, 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So we know you believe and you get baptized. So we know that Samaria received the gospel, and these people in Samaria had gotten saved. Now news gets to the disciples, the apostles, that Samaria has received the gospel. So they send Peter and John to go check things out. So Peter and John show up. Philip's there. Philip's brought the gospel to them. And then we pick it up in verse 14. However, when the apostles came down, this is Peter and John. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's a few things there to note. They'd gotten saved. The Holy Spirit was inside of them, but he had not empowered any of them. And so they lay hands on them and pray that they would receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. This falling upon is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. He's inside of you. He is a helper. We're going to see that here in a moment. He's helping you to live for him. But he also can empower you to be bold, empower you to do the work that God's called you to do. And my question today will be, are you a Christian who has the Holy Spirit who has not yet been empowered by the Holy Spirit? Now, notice here they said they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is a reference, they're referencing the baptism of the Spirit. People will say, well, the Bible never uses the term baptized in the Spirit. And to be pedantic, that's correct. The Bible doesn't use the term baptized in the Spirit. But it says here, the Holy Spirit had not yet fell upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord, referring to that there is a baptism of the Spirit. What does the word baptize mean? To immerse. That's the Greek word for baptize. And so when you are baptized in the Spirit, you are immersed by the Holy Spirit. It's the totality of your life being surrendered to God and being totally immersed in God. John Corson used to say, get under the spout where the glory comes out and stay under the spout where the glory comes out. Be immersed within the Spirit. Be empowered by him. So we see that there is a distinction. Now, this admittedly is controversial. Some will say that there is no second experience of the Holy Spirit. The Bible shows us differently. And not only do I believe that there is a second experience of the Holy Spirit, an empowering of the Spirit, I believe there's a second, third, fourth, and fifth. That in the book of Acts, after receiving the Holy Spirit, they were empowered later on. We read of these empowerings, and we will take a look at this. Now, before we finish this up, let's consider how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of Christians before and when they are a Christian, and then to empower. So the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit works with you in three ways. He is, first of all, with you before you become a Christian, and he's doing a work of drawing you, convincing you of Christ. The Holy Spirit's with you. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never invited him in, but you're interested in the things of God, that's the Holy Spirit. He's with you, and he's working with you, drawing you to Christ. Well, we'll talk about how the Holy Spirit's with you and how the Bible says it here in a moment. Then when you become a Christian, he's in you. You now have the Holy Spirit in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then he empowers you. Could be the same time you're born again. Could be a later date. It might happen several times throughout your life. I believe that I have been empowered by the Spirit several different times throughout my lifetime. It wasn't a one-time event. I did receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit after I got saved. Then I received it again and again. And I believe it's a continuation of God filling you and gifting you to be able to do the works that God has given you to do. The gift of teaching, the gift of evangelism, the gift of administration, the gift of helps. There's lists of the gifts that the Spirit brings that they empower you to in 1 Corinthians and in Romans, and they're much more than the sign gifts. Everybody gets hung up on tongues and prophecy, miracles. Everybody gets hung up on those sign gifts. But there are many more gifts that are for the operation of the day-to-day work of what God's called you to do and what God has called you to work in. So let's consider, first of all, the Holy Spirit is with you. In John 16, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." He's talking to his disciples. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." Now, what a thing for Jesus to say. The disciples are bummed out because Jesus told them, "I'm leaving you. I'm going." And he says, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. The Holy Spirit is referred to by Jesus as the Helper. The Holy Spirit is helping you. You are not on your own. You have the Spirit of God inside of you, and He is helping you. And if I don't go, He says, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So see, when you receive the Holy Spirit, everywhere you go, the Spirit is working from you in the lives of people around you. This is invisible to us in the physical world. I wish we could take a picture of it or see how it's working in the spiritual world. How when you as a believer having the Holy Spirit walk into a room, how that Spirit affects the lives of those who are there. He's with them and He's working with them. This is why I believe that the world is so hostile towards us. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Joe Rogan made mention of Christianity on his program. Now, Joe Rogan's not a Christian, but he said that we give respect to all the religions of the world. Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism. He said, we give respect to all the religions of the world, but Christianity is the most mocked religion. Now, this is Joe Rogan, who can't say three words without saying a cuss word, who recognizes that we are being persecuted. Things are happening all over the world, and I don't know whether you're paying attention to them or not, but Christians are being arrested for sharing their faith, for praying silently outside of Planned Parenthoods, not doing anything except praying, being arrested. We're being intimidated on college campuses that we cannot talk about Jesus. You can curse Him, you can deride Him, but as soon as you begin to talk positively about Him, you are shut down and you are not allowed to talk. And if you work in these college campuses and you share your faith, you will lose your job. That's intimidation. They are treating us in a way that they would not treat any other group. We've got to recognize that. Jesus said this is going to happen, and it is happening today. And I want to tell you, it's going to happen more and more. Now, one of the reasons I think that we are the most mocked, the most hated religion in the world, as Joe Rogan points out, is because we have the Holy Spirit in us. I know I've gotten with family together before. I had a family member tell me one time, I'm sick of you preaching at me. I hadn't even said anything yet. But I know what was happening. The Spirit was convicting them. The word convict doesn't mean condemn, it means convince. The Spirit was convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment as I walked in the room with the Holy Spirit. Because you are a Spirit-filled believer, and everywhere you go, you bring the Holy Spirit with you. Now, later on in the same conversation, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Jesus had been a helper for them. Now we have another helper who will abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, but He will be in you. So He's talking to His disciples who are not, they're not technically born again yet because it's the Old Testament. Jesus will die on the cross and they will receive the Holy Spirit. But right now with His disciples, the Holy Spirit's with them the way He's with non-believers, and He will be in them. So that's how the Holy Spirit's working. So you might be here today, never given your life to Christ, but the Holy Spirit's with you. And He's convincing you. He's working within you. He's drawing you. Now, Jesus also stood up on the day of the great feast, which there was a drink offering given. And Jesus said, if any of you thirst, then come unto Me, and out of you will gush torrents of living water. And then John tells us, thus He spoke of the Holy Spirit that would be given. So we come to Christ, and out of us gush torrents of living water. That living water is the Holy Spirit, and we get an even better picture of how when we walk in the room in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is gushing out of us and onto people, and they don't like it. A lot of times, they're offended by it. I don't have many altercations. I had one this last week where a guy was upset with, I got a friend of mine. His name's Tim Booker. He's the pastor of Church on the Street. Great guy. And he wears Jesus shirts all the time. He lives out loud for Jesus. He's got Jesus everywhere. And this guy says something to me, and he says to me, don't ask me a question. And I asked him two questions immediately. I said, why? What's up, buddy? So you see in my tone, I'm trying to de-escalate this because he's upset. Did you ask me a question? I'm like, why? What's up, buddy? You know, I'm just trying to de-escalate it. He goes, we got Jesus over here. He's talking about Booker, you know, and then he calls him a few names. And I'm just kind of like, you know, we got to take this down. Then another Christian friend of mine who goes to Zion Church, the Assembly of God Church there. So he gets a little uppity. He gets a little, you know, a little fired up. And he goes, do we have a problem? And the guy goes, yeah, we got a problem. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. We're going to have a Christian beaten up. You know, by the way, the guy that goes to Zion is much larger than this guy. I don't know what this guy's thinking. But they start walking together and he says, what are you going to do about it then? The problem we got. And he goes, I'm going to wait and play with the group behind us. We were playing golf. He goes, I'm going to wait and play with the group behind us. And I'm like, whew, we got out of that one. But why did he talk about Booker? Why was he upset with Booker? Because he's living for Jesus out loud. Because he sees Christ in him. And so he's upset with that. That's people in the world. That's who they are and that's what they do because the Holy Spirit's with us. Now, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit's in us. And I got a couple quick verses for that because we understand that, right? We understand that every Christian has the Holy Spirit in them. When someone who believes in the empowering of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit says of another church, they're not a Spirit-filled church. That is a lie. That's not true. Every believer has the Holy Spirit in them. They might not believe in the empowering of the Spirit, but the interesting thing is, I think they're being empowered anyway. John MacArthur doesn't believe in a second experience of the Holy Spirit. You know, he believes everything you get with the Holy Spirit is when you're saved and that he empowered people in the first century, but he doesn't empower them today. Okay, it's called secessionism. It's a doctrine that believes that the power of the Holy Spirit ceased working in that way that it did in the early church, that God doesn't gift people anymore today. The crazy thing is, I think John MacArthur has the gift of teaching. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't believe that the Holy Spirit's empowering him in a unique way, but he is. So we know every Christian has the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, this is a sermon, he said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. So when you repent and you give your life to Christ, when you raise your hand here and say, I want to start living for Jesus, you are being filled with the Spirit. I'll give you another verse. This is 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we have all been made to drink of the same Spirit. So every believer, whether it's South Korea, whether it's in Iran, there's a big revival going on in Iran, many people becoming Christians, whether it's here in the United States, we're all drinking of one Spirit. We all have the same Holy Spirit inside of us.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.